saying to, my name is Tom Berger, and I'm traveling around Alaska holding meetings like this in villages and towns in every region of Alaska to talk about land claims with people who live in their villages and the towns. I've been asked to do this job by two international Native peoples organizations. I was asked to do it by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, and by the World Council of Indigenous People, which is an organization of Indian people from North America and South America. So they wanted me to come here and find out how the land claim settlement in Alaska had worked out, and to ask people like yourselves to talk about it, and then to write a report. So I'm going to write a report that will be made public next summer, and I will write about the land claim settlement, write about what I learned here in Alaska, traveling around like this, and I'll make recommendations for the future. That is, recommendations that will help Alaska Natives to decide on their future. Now, I know some of you are from the school. Maybe your teacher wouldn't mind if I talked a little bit about the land claim settlement. Back in 1971, Congress, the Congress of the United States in Washington, D.C., passed a law settling the land claims of the Alaska Native people. Alaska Native people were, of course, the original people, the first people to come to Alaska, lived here for thousands of years before anybody else came. And Alaska Natives owned all of Alaska. Well, then the Russians came, and then the Americans came, and Alaska Natives said, look, this used to belong to us, the whole state belonged to us, and that we better settle this thing. We need to make sure we get some land that we can keep, so we don't want to lose any more land. So back in 1971, the United States said, all right, Alaska Natives will have 44 million acres of land. And they set up corporations, Native corporations, to hold the land and manage the land. And you have a village corporation here, and you have a regional corporation as well. And the village corporation and the regional corporation hold the land that the United States decided you should have here in the Chugach region. But they said that there's a catch in all this. They said that in 1991, the shares that Native people have in these corporations can be sold. So if Native people in Tatiklik or in the Chugach region decide to sell their shares in 1991, somebody outside, somebody from the lower 48, maybe a big company from the lower 48 could come up and go around and buy enough shares and take over your corporation and then take over your land. There's another little catch in all this. Congress also said that after 1991, the land that your corporations hold could be taxed by the state of Alaska. So if the state of Alaska starts to run out of money in the 1990s and decides to impose a tax on privately held land, Native corporations own about 99% of all the privately held land in Alaska. And if they imposed a tax on your corporation lands, then you would have to pay the tax. And if you couldn't pay the tax, you'd have to forfeit the land to the state. Now, those are kind of the worst things that could happen, but everybody's talking about those possibilities wherever I go. So I thought I should mention them here. I've been to about 30 villages all over Alaska, and I've asked people like yourselves to tell me what you think about all this. And so far, about 650 people have talked about it. And these people have come with me are helping to make a permanent record of what is said. This is Jim Sykes with the earphones. And he is taking down on tape everything that is said so that there will be a record of what Alaska Native people think about their land claims, what the good points are, the bad points, and where they want to go from here. This is Doric Meshaw, who is working with me, and my wife, Beverly, sitting next to Martha. And she might take a couple of photographs while we're here, if you don't mind, so that we'll all be able to remember your faces. This is Carolyn Moyer, a writer who is with us this trip. One of the other things that people have talked about wherever we've gone is this. They've said, how come the children don't have shares in these corporations? Congress, when it passed this law, said that Alaska Natives who were alive back in 1971, Alaska Natives who were born before 1971, they all got shares in these village and regional corporations. The people who've been born since that time, and if you're 13 years or younger, if my arithmetic is right, 1971 is 13 years ago. If you're 12 years at least, if you're 12 years old or 11 or 10 or 9 or 8 or 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you don't have the right to shares in these corporations. If you're 14 or 15 or 16, you do. Now, some of you probably do because you're probably 14 or 15 or 16 years old. But children born since 1971 have no right to be enrolled as shareholders. And wherever I've gone, people have said, how come our children were left out of this settlement? How come they don't have shares? And they are very unhappy about that. Now, there's another issue that keeps coming up. I'm from Canada, and I spent 3 years in the Canadian Arctic reviewing the land claims of the Eskimo and Indian people there, and I wrote a report for the Government of Canada about their land claims. And people all over the world are Native people. The Native people in all the countries of North America are concerned about keeping their land. They want to keep their land, and they also are talking about governing themselves. They're talking about their right to decide what happens in their villages and what happens on their land. They want to be the people that regulate who can go out and hunt and fish and when and where. And they want to have the right to decide what happens in their villages and their land and their communities. So this is called self-determination in some places. Here in Alaska, it's called Native sovereignty. That's what it's called in a lot of other places, too. And What it is an attempt by Native people all over the world to have the right to keep their own land and to live on their own land and to decide for themselves what's going to happen on their land. So I'm going to stop talking now and invite some of you to talk. My job is this. I've been traveling around now since the beginning of the year, about 8 months now, and we were at Seward last night. We're going to Cordova tonight, and then we're going to someplace else tomorrow, if only I could remember where it is. And we want you to tell us what you think of all this, because I'm going to write a report that will be sent to you next summer. It will be made public, and I'll base it on what you've told me at these meetings. And then you can use it, and I hope it will be helpful to you to decide where you're going to go in the future. So if anybody would like to say something, I hope you don't mind coming up and sitting here and just talking here so that what you say goes into the microphone and onto the tape. And when I'm finished this job, if I think, I have a little note here that somebody at this village said something pretty important that I want to use in my report, then I can go to Jim and he can say, here's the tape, here's the transcript of what was said. So that's why we want you to sit here, if you don't mind, and just talk about ANCSA, and that's what people call the land claim settlement, and then about anything else that you want to talk about that you think is important. So We're open for business.
Is there any chance of kids under 13 getting share in the corporation?
Well, maybe we could. Did you pick the question up? No.
Yeah, I think so. We can use that mic, though.
Yeah. Why don't you take the mic over to Gary, and he could repeat his question. Give us your name, would you, Gary, and then repeat the question?
Gary Komkoff. Is there any chance of the kids under 14 born before 1971, is there any chance of them getting shares in the village corporations?
Sure, there's a chance of doing it. There's a proposal that the corporations should issue shares to all the children born since 1971, then they would have shares. But you see, and under corporation law, you can't just issue shares for nothing. So how are all these kids, or kids even younger than these, going to pay for their shares? Well, they don't have the money to pay for their shares. So the proposal has been made that the proposal has been made that Congress pass a law that allows the Native corporations to issue shares to all the children and to the children that are born each year in the future. There are some legal and constitutional difficulties with that. That's why in some villages we've been to, people say, well, let's turn over all of our land. Let's have the corporations transfer the land to the IRA governments, because the IRA governments represent all the Native people, and the land can be passed on from one generation to the next without shares being issued and without the possibility of takeovers by outsiders, and without any liability to taxation. So those are two of the ways of doing it, getting Congress to allow you to issue shares to the children Or turning the land over to the IRA governments or tribal governments and having them hold the land. And there are other ways of doing it that we're looking into. Yes, ma'am.
Jesse Tiedemann, Tetitlik shareholder. Yeah, I'd like to know, how is this going to benefit the elders? A lot of them are in old folks' homes or in the hospital or whatever, and I'm quite sure they're looking forward, since they're shareholders, that they should get something out of this. I don't think, I have never heard if they're getting anything out of it, and they're looking forward to it, what few that elders I have spoken to.
Well, the problem is the one that I mentioned to Gary. If you've got a corporation, suppose it had a little extra money, and it said, let's give this money, divide it up and give this money to the elders so they'll be a little more comfortable and be able to buy some things. The law is that a corporation can't give a benefit to a limited group of its shareholders. The law would be that if you want to give $200 a month to your elders, you've got to give $200 a month to every single shareholder, because otherwise you're discriminating against all the shareholders who aren't elders. Now, you know, I didn't write this law, but that's the way of corporations is just about everywhere, in the lower 48, in Alaska, anywhere else you want to go. And that's why it's difficult for the corporations, assuming they have the money, it's difficult for them to give special benefits for the elders, and that's one of the reasons why they haven't done it. The other reason is, I guess, that a lot of them don't have the money to help them anyway. The reasons why people in some of the villages have brought up the idea of native sovereignty is this. They say, well, if we have our own tribal governments, our own IRA governments, then they can provide special benefits for the elders if they want to. Now, that means that they have to have the resources to help the elders, and people in the village have to decide that that's what they want to do with their resources. But that's the trouble with the business of the elders.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
David Todimoff.
David?
Yes. Since my kids can't get these this land or these shares, could I will to them?
Yes, you can leave your shares to your children in your will, and they then will get your shares.
You were saying that we could sell this land and the shares. There's going to be a lot of people from the States come up here, maybe going down to 4th Avenue or something and offering the wine was there about $1,000 for their land and their shares, and there's going to be a lot of that. Is there a way to put a stop to that?
Well, you could ask Congress to pass a law that says that you couldn't sell your shares, and maybe you want to tell me how you feel about that. I've asked people wherever I've gone, well, in 1991, do you want to sell your shares? Maybe you'll get some money for them, and then you can buy a new snow machine, or you can buy a car, or you can buy something else. If a majority of the people who have shares in this village corporation sell their shares, then you'll wake up one morning and you may have a snow machine and a new car, but you won't have any land. That's the choice you have to make. And most places I've been, Alaska natives have said, we don't want to sell our shares. We want a law that says we can't sell our shares or let's just turn all the land over to the IRAs, and then we don't have to worry about anybody taking over the corporations and the land. Because if the corporations don't have the land anymore, if we've turned it over to the IRAs, we won't have to worry about that. Well, some Alaska Natives have said, not very many, but some have said, and they've said, look, I'm an American, I've got these shares, they're my property, and I should have the right to sell them and get the money. And that's why this is all pretty important to Alaska Natives, to decide what they're going to do with their shares and with their land.
If they do tax the land for some people who can't pay for these taxes, could they people turn the land over to the corporation so then the corporation could pay the taxes?
Well, the corporations own the land now.
Yeah.
You see, the land, back in 1971, Congress said to the native people of Alaska, they said, okay, we recognize that you've got a claim, so we'll let you keep 10% of the land in Alaska. But you don't own the land. None of you in this room own the land. It is your village corporation that owns the land, and what you own is shares in the corporation. Now, corporations are, the native corporations are ordinary private corporations under the law of Alaska. As you were saying, if somebody goes down Fourth Avenue in Anchorage and buys up shares from all the people there, he might wind up owning shares in a lot of corporations, just spending a weekend on the street there. What's more likely to happen is that if your corporation has some land that somebody wants, they might come around here some weekend with a lot of money and offer you money for your shares. And after an afternoon here, might fly out with a chunk of the shares in your corporation. I mean, that would depend on you. But the other possibility is that the state might decide to impose a tax on the land, and then the corporations have to pay the tax, because now there are provisions for putting the land in a land bank as long as it's used only for hunting and fishing for subsistence. That's one way of making sure it isn't taxed. But the land that your village corporation has and the land that your regional corporation has, that land could be taxed by the state after 1991, and you have no immunity from taxation through your corporations. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Doris Komkoff, Tetitlik. I'm not a shareholder, but my husband is. Who runs the IRA? I mean, who handles it? You know, what?
Well,
a bunch of white guys or Indians or sharpshooters or what?
Well, I don't know. There are about 100 IRA governments in Village, Alaska. I think there's one in this village. And there are some traditional tribal councils in Alaska that we've run into in some of the villages that aren't chartered by anybody. They've just been there for a long, long time, and that's the government the people there established for themselves. And those traditional councils still run some of the villages in Alaska. Then there are IRA governments, which IRA just means they've been chartered by the Department of Interior in Washington, D.C., and they have a constitution that has been approved by Washington, D.C., that's and the people in the village will under the constitution have the right to elect their the people who will run the IRA. That's all. And I don't think you said white people running IRAs. I don't think that white people can be members of an IRA because you have to be a native people.
Is this tax going to be high, or is it going to be a set amount that they're going to make us be taxed?
Well, look, in some, you see, Congress said the native corporations don't have to pay a tax on their land till after 1991. Well, in some cities, in some boroughs, you've got a property tax. So if you have native corporation land within that borough or that city, then you can just find out right now what the tax is and get some idea whether you can pay it. I mean, who can predict the future? There isn't a statewide property tax now. The state of Alaska doesn't impose a statewide property tax. Just some cities and some borough governments do. But I'm just saying that you should think about the future. Maybe if the revenue from Prudhoe Bay starts to run out, the state, in order to pay for all the government services that you have in Alaska, might say, okay, we better impose a property tax. And wherever you go in Alaska, there are three big landowners in Alaska. One is the federal government. Well, they don't have to pay taxes because they're a government. They impose taxes. They don't pay them. The second is the state. They own a lot of land, and they're a government, and they don't pay taxes. They impose taxes. And the third are the native corporations with 44 million acres of land. So they are the largest landowners, the largest private landowners, and they would be people that would have to pay a property tax if one were imposed. That's all.
My name is Martha Belasov. And I think that the question of whether people are going to sell out, so to speak, you know, on their stocks and their land, depends on how the people feel about it. Now, if they're so alienated from their culture by, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses or whatever, that it doesn't mean anything to them anymore, then for sure, you know, there's probably not too much of a doubt that they're going to go ahead and sell out. But I think if people start, you know, we still have, what, 7 years? Oh.
Yeah, seven.
1991, 7 years. I think a lot of the regions around the state, like the Nana region, they've got the spirit movement now, and they're relying on the elders to tell them, you know, how to get in touch with their spirit again. I mean, it seemed like for a long time there was a lot of alcoholism and, you know, problems in the villages, you know, getting adjusted to civilization. And now there's kind of a revitalization of cultural awareness. You know, people are starting to say, well, hey, we lost something along the way, you know. And I think that if everyone were to get involved in that and try to be proud of who they are, then that would be one way of not having that happen, because I don't think anybody wants to totally sell out the land so that there's nothing left for natives in the end. You know, I don't think anyone could say that unless they were just in it for the money or whatever. But I think that would help quite a bit. We're going to have a elders conference here in Tetitlik next month, and there hasn't been much emphasis put on trying to listen to the elders in this area, I don't think, you know. But we'd like to see more of it.
You just, Mrs. Blesoff, Just for the record, you're an official of the local IRA government here, are you?
No, I work for North Pacific Rim Nonprofit Corporation, and Gary is the president of the IRA Council.
Sorry.
And I don't think there's any more council members here.
Right. Thanks. Do you want to take the mic, Gary? Sorry. Gary, you're the president of the local IRA Council.
Yeah. Do you think that the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act was designed to fail?
Well, you know, when Congress passed the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, they said to themselves, well, these Eskimos and Indians and Aleuts in Alaska should become part of the mainstream of America. And so they said, we won't turn this land over to their IRA governments or their tribal governments or the traditional governments, because those are things of the past. That would be a step backward. So we will try to bring them into the mainstream of America, and we will set up these corporations, and they will all become shareholders, and then they will be able to run businesses. And by 1991, 20 years later, they will all be very experienced at running businesses. They will know what business is all about. And then they can sell their shares if they want and buy shares in General Motors or in IBM, or they might decide to keep their shares. But I think Congress felt that the act would succeed if in 1991 you all decided that it didn't matter to you whether you kept your shares or not, if you had become assimilated, if you had become Americans who had no particular reason to insist on remaining distinctive any longer, then the act would be a success. Well, going around the state, I find that Native people think that would be a failure if they lost their land and their distinctive culture. But it's just two ways of looking at the same thing, you know, is the glass half full or half empty. And Congress, I think, intended that your land should just be mingled with all the other land in Alaska after 1991, that you would gradually give up hunting and fishing and trapping and subsistence and go into business and become indistinguishable in terms of your daily lives from other Alaskans. Now, that they thought if that happened, that would be a great success. You know. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, everybody has 100 shares, right? So what is that equivalent to acres? If somebody wanted to come up, you know, like he said before, Davey asked if a wino wanted to sell his shares and he had 100 shares, how much would that be in land?
Well, nobody really knows, because the corporation owns the land, and the corporation can't divide it up and say, okay, we'll just give everybody. If we have 100,000 acres and 100 shareholders, we'll give every shareholder 1,000 acres. Corporations can't do that because then you get into the problem, where's the best 1,000 acres and who gets it? You see, they're having trouble even allocating 1.5-acre home sites through the corporations. And they're doing it by lottery. Some of the villages that have decided they can divide up some of their land among their shareholders are doing it by lottery. And you if you win the lottery, you get first choice, then second choice, and so on.
Is that what EAC Corporation is doing then? they have already got some land issued to them, which Tetitlik Corporation, I know, has land already, but not each individual. But I'm referring to the Iyak people. They've already got, I think, an acre and a half, and they're already selling their land. So,
well, if the Iyak people have an acre and a half each, that's under the ANILCA, the 1980 law, that allows the distribution of 1.5 acres to each shareholder. But I'm almost certain that they would have had a lottery to decide who gets which 1.5 acres. But when they get it, you're saying that the people that got the acreage are now selling it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be up to the Tetitlik Corporation to issue so many acres to their shareholders, each individual. Am I right?
If the Tetitlik Corporation wanted to, they could divide up some of their land into 1.5 acre parcels. Now, I don't know where the land is that they own. If it's somewhere near the village, that might be... you might think that's a good idea. If it's a long way away, it may be that 1.5 acres isn't much good out in the bush, unless it's right on a lake or something. But that's up to the corporation. But until 1980, they couldn't even divide up the land, so you got 1.5 acres each. Now you can divide it up, so you get 1.5 acres each. Maybe, Gary, I could just ask you a couple of questions, if you don't mind. Can you tell me, just for the record, about how many people live here in this village?
I think there's approximately 110. There was last year, anyway.
Yeah. And how do the people make a living? Are people engaged in hunting and fishing? Is there any wage employment? Or
I think 90% of the people here make their living off of fishing, and then whatever jobs come up in the winter time. But just about everybody fishes.
Is there anybody else here who can tell me a little bit about the local village corporation? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I wish there was a corporation member here. But I really wish there was a corporation board member here that can...
Well, maybe I could just ask you, or maybe somebody could tell me. Do you know if there are shareholders in the corporation who've left the village, who live in Anchorage, or...?
There's shareholders all over the place, down in the States, in Anchorage, Cordova, Valdez.
Have you any idea how many... what percentage of shareholders live here in the village as compared to the percentage that live outside?
Probably 60-70% live here.
Still live here.
Yeah. I think there's 215 shareholders in the corporation.
What does your village corporation do? I mean, what does it run a store here, or does it have a fish plant, or is it something that exists on paper, really?
They own the Tetitlik Business Center in Valdez. It's an office building, and I don't think they're doing anything right now.
Well, do you get dividends? Have you been getting dividends?
No, we haven't. We got $1,000, but that was from partial liquidation, I think.
You were going to add something?
No, I don't.
Well, you agree with Gary that it was only that one occasion that you received income as a shareholder.
It wasn't the dividend.
Yeah. Liquidation of assets.
Yeah.
What about dividends from the Chugach Alaska Corporation, the regional corporation? Maybe we could just, ma'am, would you what about dividends from Chugach Alaska Regional Corporation? You were...
Well, I don't really know. I think we got three?
Three.
Yeah, from them. And I think the last one was $3.79.
Well, I hope the others were bigger.
Yeah, we had... what was our first one?
The first one was just about the cost of the staff, I think.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest was about 300.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from the Chugach region.
The first one. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We have a Tetitlik shareholders annual meeting coming up, but I don't know when that's going to be. We used to have it here in Tetitlik, but they've been having it in Valdez since the Tetitlik Corporation office is up there in Valdez now. So I don't know if any of these shareholders know when that is, or we haven't got a notice yet that I know of, unless the...
Well, are the shareholders in Tetitlik Corporation, the people from Tetitlik, Valdez, is there another village corporation at Valdez?
That's not a corporation.
No.
No,
there's no village corporation at Valdez. That's what I thought.
Tetitlik.
Well, let me... ask you a question, Gary. What do you think about the possibility of the sale of shares in 1991? Maybe you could pass the mic over. What do you think people ought to do, what do you think about it all?
Well, I'd like to see the shares stay in native hands. I'd like to see the corporations have the first option if the shares are going to be put up for sale. I'd just like to see them stay in native hands. I'd hate to see the outsiders come in and gain control of the corporations. Because without our land, we're not going to have any identity if we lose the land. I don't know what's going to happen with that, if the IRA council will get title to it, or... I really think that the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act was designed to fail, and that there was multi-million dollar corporations turned over to fishermen and just village people that didn't have any experience in running that. That's a big job to run a multi-million dollar corporation. I really can't see how they expected fishermen and village people and truck drivers and all that to run that big of a corporation.
Uh,
one thing I could say
the
Titlick Corporation is that when we used to have our annual get-together, it was a big thing, especially here when we had it in Titlick. All the shareholders would be here, and they'd do their voting and whatnot, and then we'd have a big banquet and feed the shareholders here. We'd come out of Corova, and it was a nice get-together. But now, I haven't heard, how many years has it been, Gary, that they haven't had any here, they haven't had a banquet, or 2 years? And it's just dying. I don't know what the reason for that is. They have the shareholders' annual meeting in Valdez now, and I heard that when they had the last one, there was only a handful. I might be speaking out of term, but I think everybody was notified for this. And a lot of times, when the time came for them to go to that meeting, the weather was bum, or a lot of them just didn't like to travel. But I think here would be the where they got more done, to tell the truth.
Yeah, maybe we could use the mic just so it's on the record, and maybe give us your name.
Sure. Joe McGowan. I'm a local teacher here and just came up here this year, so I'm not real familiar with the community, but just being interested in history and whatnot, I know how things have gone over the ages, how certain people have been, you know, given a bill of goods and it looks good at the time, and then 20, 30 years later they lose something that they thought was real good. I come from the Appalachian region of Ohio, so I know how people down there have lost their land and their coal rights and their mineral rights to the subsurface and what have you. You know, correct me if I'm mistaken. I understand you say the corporate...